Dr. James Dobson, a familiar name when it comes to parenting, he conducted a poll once on the problems of the parent-child relationship. He was curious to find out what the public felt, what their common problems were. And he said once he got the results back, he was actually shocked at what the top problem was for these people that were polled. Starting with number five, coming in fifth place, the fifth problem with the parent-child relationship, 10% of the people said that it was in-law complaints. I thought that would be higher, but you know that's just the way it goes. But that came in fifth place. Fourth place, just one percentage higher, 11% of the people, dependency and health problems of aging parents. That's tough. That's tough to deal with. I can see how that would creep up above the in-law problems. 19% coming in third place was a concern with unsaved parents. Very strong concern there. 21% coming in at second place was a concern of parents or grandparents that just didn't care about their children. They just weren't loving. They didn't care. And that's, once again, I mean, all these are valid concerns, problems for the parent-child relationship. Coming at first place, at 44% of the people that were polled. Now this is almost half the people that were polled. They said their problem, and according to this poll, the number one problem according to these people that were polled, was letting their children go. Letting go of your children. That's a tough thing. And as we're coming to the end of a series, we're going to be talking about that today. A few weeks ago, we developed a biblical job description for parents. We had a parental job description, very simple. It's right there in your bulletin if you look at the sermon section there, right there on the bottom. We'll have it right up here on the screen just to review. That biblical job description is to train, teach, and encourage our children so that they may leave equipped to live a fulfilling and productive life. Right? And that's simple. That's easy to take with us. And it's something that'll give us some guidelines. And in this job description, we started off talking about the importance of training. And that involves discipline, discipline in love, being able to temper your discipline according to the child. Then we talked about the responsibility, the big responsibility of teaching and encouraging our children. We talked about that last week. Now last, we need to keep in mind the end game of parenting, the end goal of parenting. According to this job description, the end goal of our parenting is for them to leave, right? I mean, that's the first part of it. We're going to be talking about it as a whole, but the very first part is just for them to leave. Now, a lot of parents are very active in their participation of training or discipline, very active in teaching. A lot of parents ignore this part of parenting. They ignore this part of the job description. We need to give this as much attention as we would the training, the discipline, the encouragement, the teaching. Because it is the parent's responsibility to release their children. It's not up to the kids. It's not up to the children to decide if they're going to stay or they're going to leave or how long they're going to stay or when exactly they're going to leave. It is the parent's responsibility. Parents that don't take this responsibility, parents that just leave their kids at home, or maybe some parents are a little more overbearing and they don't want to let go of their kids. They don't want them to leave the house. Well, parents like that, they leave their kids with two options, just logically speaking. The first option is that the child remains under the control of the parent's authority for many years past when they should have left. What does this do? What does this do for the child? Well, they lose the ability to mature and develop completely. They sacrifice finding their own identity. They forfeit the freedom and right to live the productive and fulfilling life that God has planned for them as a unique individual. None of us would want to do that as parents. We'd say, well, I don't want to do that to my children. Well, what's the other option when parents are like that, when they won't let go of their kids or they'll keep them in or they'll be overbearing? Well, the other option, obviously, is the active option. If that's the passive option, the other option, we've seen this a lot, where the children rebel and they sever that relationship. They know inside themselves that the natural step next is to leave. And so what do? They take it upon themselves because the parents haven't taken on the responsibility of making them leave or preparing them to leave. So they leave. They sever that relationship. And we've seen this, or maybe we've experienced this. This leaves scars, a rift of scars on both the child and the parent for years to come. It hurts and hinders the ability to continue that relationship with your child. And the child loses that support and fellowship that they really need from a mature parent-child relationship. That is, after they've left, that's an adult-to-an-adult relationship. We need, as parents, to initiate their leaving. I've heard a term once used to describe this. Some of you guys might have heard it before. Cutting the apron strings. You guys ever heard that? Yeah? Well, I'd like to use that term, but I'd like to look at it in a different way. I'd like to propose a different process of cutting the apron strings. Cutting the apron strings is so sudden. And as I was observed and researched, it's not healthy. It's not healthy for the parent or for the child. An instant release into adulthood. It's not good. So I'd like to propose a new way of letting go of our children. Instead of cutting the apron string at age 18, I got off my notes first service, so I have to be very careful here. What if we were to cut just a stitch or two each year? Just a stitch of the apron string. That's why I've entitled this message, Apron String Stitching, just in case you're wondering, what in the world is this guy talking about today? Obviously, I had some people thinking that. Apron string stitching. Don't give your children an instant adult pass at age 18. That's dangerous. You're giving them a lot of freedom, a lot of responsibility, just dumped on them. All right, you're 18, here you go, leave. That's part of my job description. Well, we need to be careful with that. We need to understand that job description. See, when you give your child an instant adult pass at 18, when you just clip those apron strings, you're setting them up for failure. You're setting them up for some really rough times. You're just asking for trouble. And this, unfortunately, it's a common practice, isn't it? And we see this all around us, and we think we're doing the right thing because parents haven't gained a clear understanding of their job description. And if they have some idea of their job description, they don't understand the importance of this part of it. It's easy to see the importance of teaching and training or discipline, encouragement. But parents, we need to understand that this is a very important piece of our job description, to properly let go of our children, to properly release them. A healthy release can pave the way for a long-lasting relationship with you and your children. Don't allow their 18th birthday to sneak up on you. That's easy to have happen. I've heard the years fly by. Plan for this day. Don't just cut the apron strings, but steadily snip away at the stitches while they grow. Now, if that wasn't already a little different, I want to go a little further and say something a little more odd that you might not expect. When do we start this process? Well, you start this process, you start snipping little threads at preschool. What? How do we do that? Well, when they learn to tie their shoes, let them tie their shoes. If you know, and they know that you know, and you know that you know that they can tie their shoes, and then they come to you and they say, Mom, tie my shoes. Daddy, tie my shoes. You've snipped an apron string. No, that's your responsibility now. That's your freedom. Start snipping them early and let them know, because what this will do is this will set up. That's where I got confused last time. Should have written that backwards. If they can do it, let them do it. Let that be a stitch that you snip. When they can choose their own clothes, let them do that. When they can walk to school on their own, anytime they gain the ability to handle more freedom, more responsibility, and they prove that they can handle that responsibility well, give that to them. Let that be an apron string thread that you have snipped, and then leave it. Leave that in their hands. That way, you're snipping threads. And do so. Plan and do this deliberately so that the last few stitches will be snipped in the 18th year. That makes sense, doesn't it? Now, some of you guys might have some catching up to do. Some of you guys are realizing, whoa, my kid's 14 years old. Start snipping them. Start working on that if you haven't already done so. Then you can be ready to let them go, or at least as ready as possible. And giving them more freedom, more responsibility over a period of time, that creates momentum. That creates a good momentum, a momentum that leads to them leaving. It will help to teach them and train them. It will encourage them as they see that they have been given more responsibility and they're good with that responsibility and they see victories and you give them a chance to have breakthroughs in their life. They'll gain self-confidence, that self-confidence we always talk about. This will empower them with that because they'll get a chance to see, hey, I've got a little bit of responsibility and I'm doing all right with it. And it will help that transition from the parent-child relationship in the house to a parent-child relationship outside of the house, the adult-adult relationship. So as we continue talking about the end game, all right, we're wanting to snip the stitches of the apron string to go towards leaving. Now, leaving wasn't the full end game. You don't just want them to leave. You want them to leave how? You want them to be in such a way that they are equipped to live a life that is fulfilling and productive. This is the goal of parenting. Now, I want to draw a nice, thick, bold line between the goal of parenting and the hope of parenting. Because there is a goal of parenting, and there's a hope of parenting. The goal of parenting is contingent on the parent. That's something we are responsible for. Our goal is to equip our children through training, discipline, teaching, and encouraging. As I was reading a John Maxwell book on parenting, preparing for this series, I came across a story about him and his daughter, Elizabeth. See ya, bud. I could have used him later. But he shared a story about them at Thanksgiving. And they would save out the wishbone from the turkey every Thanksgiving, set it up in the windowsill, let it dry out. When it was good and dry, they would each take an end of it. You guys are probably familiar with this. And they would pull, and whoever got the bigger piece would have their wish granted. You'd make a wish. So they'd pull, and pretty much every Thanksgiving, John said that his daughter, Elizabeth, would pull the bigger piece. So she'd win. Well, not so with this Thanksgiving. She pulled, they waited for it to dry, they made their wish, and then they pulled together, and John ended up with the bigger piece. And in his story, he said that she looked up at him and just started crying. And that's awful. He says, "Don't cry, honey," he told her as he put his arm around her. He said, "You don't need to be sad about not winning, because my wish was special. My wish was that your wish would come true." Isn't that true of most parents? We want our children's wishes to come true, don't we? We want to see them succeed. We want to see them to be fulfilled in life. But we can't control what happens. That's part of the hope. Under our job description, we have a good understanding of what we as parents are responsible for. As a parent, I am responsible for loving, for training, for disciplining, for teaching, for encouraging my children. I am also responsible to give a good example to my child. I am not responsible for my child's adult life choices. That's where we have to draw the line, because a lot of parents, they measure their goal by what happens to their kids. Our goal is to raise them. Our goal doesn't happen with the hope. If we do a poor job of parenting, then yeah, our children are going to have a very difficult time making good choices. But even if we could do our job perfectly, that doesn't guarantee that our children are going to turn out perfect, does it? No, not at all. In fact, we see this example, a real-life example in history, in your Bibles, in 1 and 2 Kings. There's a large passage there that's put in your bulletin. You can check that out later. But in this passage, we come across some of the first kings of Judah. And we get a chance to see something pretty interesting. We see Rehoboam, who was a bad father. Just a bad king, a lousy example to his son. And he has a son, Abijah. And guess what? This bad father produces a bad son. And we say, well, duh. That's the way it goes. Well, I don't know. Abijah, who was a bad father, he was a lousy example for his son. He has a son, Asa. And Asa has a bad dad and a bad granddad. Say that five times fast. All right? But Asa turns out to be a good son. He turns out to be a good father, a good king. And so Asa is a good father. He has Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat turns out to be a good son. And we say, well, that's the way it should happen. Well, look what happens next. You have Asa, grandfather, and Jehoshaphat, the father. Jehoshaphat's son, Jehoram, he ends up being a bad son. So just within those few generations, we see every possible combination of parent-child results. You got a bad dad that produces a bad son. You got a bad dad that produces a good son. You got a good dad that produces a good son. A good dad that produces a bad son. Good parents can have children that make very bad choices. And bad parents can have children that make very wise choices. So if this is the case, why in the world do we worry about being good parents? Why did we take 4 Sundays out of July and say, all right, we're going to talk about parenting. We're going to try and do this God's way. We're going to try and find some things in God's Word to help us to raise the bar, to be raising parents here at Miami Town. Why? Because it is our God-given responsibility as parents to raise our children and to do what we can those 18 years we have them in our house, under our roof. Teach, train, encourage our children with the ultimate goal that they will leave being equipped to live a fulfilling, fruitful, productive life. It doesn't mean it's going to happen that way. They have the freedom of choice, and they may choose not to live a fulfilling, productive life. And I don't expect that to make it any easier when or if that happens. But at least as a parent, you'll know, I've done what I can do. I have accomplished my goal as a parent. Because often we get the goal and the hope confused. John Maxwell talks about this equipping process. And he uses the imagery that I kind of like. He uses the imagery of roots and wings. He says we need to give our children roots and wings. In his book, he states that roots in botany, roots do 3 things. They give plants stability by holding them into position. They draw nourishment from the soil, and they store food and water. For children, roots come from the love of God, strong Christian values, a healthy self-image, the desire to learn, self-discipline, connection to the family, and belief in their potential. They give children stability and the ability to learn and grow, and the reserves against storm or drought. Wings give children the ability to fly, to make prudent choices, overcome obstacles, maintain a positive attitude, and choose a compatible godly mate. To fly is to be able to reach their potential, to become the people God intended them to be. That sounds like that fits right in with the job description we found a few weeks ago. That's what our goal is to provide them with roots and wings, to equip our children. He follows that up by giving 3 simple questions that he says, here's some nice questions you can use to say, am I achieving my goal? Am I looking down the road? Am I headed to where I want to head as a parent? When 18 years down the road, I can say I have fulfilled my job as a parent. And as we're going down that road, to make sure that we are on that road, we got little gutters, and these questions can act as gutters to make sure that they bounce us back into the road. And so we can look at that and we can say, these 3 questions, we can ask ourselves, have I given my children quality unconditional love? Quality unconditional love trains, it disciplines, it teaches. It accomplishes those things that we've set aside to be part of our job description. Ask yourself, have I given them a good example to follow? Have I given my children a good example to follow? And then ask yourself, have my actions been appropriate toward them? Those are 3 really good questions to ask ourselves as parents to try and keep us on the straight and narrow, to keep us headed towards our job description, to help us head towards our goal. I'd like to share a little story with you. And this story, we're not going to have it up on the screen. I'm going to leave these questions on the screen because I want to make reference to those in a few minutes. This story is found in Luke, and it's a parable. It's a famous parable. I don't want you to turn to it. I want you to turn to it sometime later and read it at home, at night. Right now, I just want you to just listen to this story. It's a famous story. It's a story of the prodigal son, one that we've probably heard a lot. It says, there was a man who had 2 sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed his pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him." That story continues. There's more in that story. He accepts him back, but I'm not wanting to look at the actions of what the father did afterward, but I'd like to get some clues as to what the father did before. In this parable, the father is clearly used to represent God, isn't he? Right? Yeah, get some head shakes. Would you guys agree with me? All right, so in this story, if we're going to measure this story, we're going to look at this story and we're going to say, well, that child did not live up to the hopes that that father probably had for him. So in our mindset prior to today, a lot of us would say that father failed, right? But this father's supposed to be God, isn't he? This father represents God. So then we'd have to say, well, God must have failed. My understanding of God is that God's perfect. My understanding of perfect is that perfect doesn't fail. So I'd have to look at this story and say, well, God must not have failed. This father must not have failed. What happened to this child? Well, this child was given freedom and responsibility to make a choice. See, the last few threads of the apron string were left, and the father cut them willingly and let his child go. When the child was out, he knew that after he'd made some stupid decisions, he knew he could at least go back to his dad and be cared for. We see that there was some love, some unconditional love that had been shared. An example that had been given through his father about how he treated people, because we know that he treated his workers fairly, generously. They never went without food, the people that worked for his dad. And we also see that the father never gave up on him. It says that while he was still a long way off, the father saw him. Just happened to see him. I'm led to believe that the father was looking for him. The father was expecting him to make the right choice sooner or later. You know, so we look at this father and we look back at these questions about measuring our goal. And we ask ourselves, did this father give his child unconditional love? Well, I'd say he did. Especially considering that this father represents God. Did this father in the story, did he set a good example for his children to follow? Do you guys agree? Yeah, probably did. From what we can see. Were his actions appropriate towards his children? Once again, I'd have to say, yes, they were. This child was of an adult age, and he asked for his inheritance, and father gave it to him, released him, let him go. So did this father fail? No. No, he didn't fail. See, the goal of parenting is contingent on the parent. Our goal is to equip them. Our hope is that they'll use that equipment. The hope is contingent on the children. What is it that we hope for our children? You know, as parents, we hope a lot of things for our children. We hope that our child will use the strong roots and mighty wings that we've equipped them with so that they can grow deep and so they can soar high, so they can accomplish great things, so that they can have a productive, fulfilling life. We hope that they will have the wisdom to make good choices and the confidence to take the good chances. You know, we hope that they will live life to the fullest. They won't give up. They won't get too down when things go bad. You know, and as parents, that's our hope. I just hope we can separate the difference between our goal and our hope, and that we do what we can and achieve the goal of parenting, so that they'll have the best chances they can to fulfill those hopes that we have for them. You know, I look at my son, you know, he's just 11 months old, and of course I've got different hopes for him, and some of those hopes really don't matter. There is one hope that I have, the ultimate hope that I have for my child, and that is that with his own heart, with his own mind, that he will accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. You know, beside all the other hopes that I might have, that one, that's the ultimate. You know, that's what we're shooting for, parents. I mean, the things that we do as a parent, they have everlasting consequences. You know, we talked about discipline, and that when we teach our child discipline, that's something bigger than just on earth, that helps them to understand the discipline they receive from God, and the understanding of right and wrong, and the understanding of what can happen to them if they make the bad choices. Ultimately, what could happen to them. We teach them. We want to show them what God's Word has to say. We want to teach them God's commandments. Why? So when they ask us, we can say, because these commandments are here so that we can fear God. So that we can get to know God. So that we can love God. That's why we obey these commandments. That's why I've been teaching you these commandments since you were in diapers. See, the things that we do as parents, the way we raise our children, they have eternal consequences attached to them. Parenting is far more than just giving our child hope here on earth. Parenting is about giving our children hope in heaven.